Welcome to the I Am Podcast, enrichment for the ears of those who are always learning. Brought to you by the Avon-Maitland District School Board.
We all want to make sure our children eat a healthy diet so that they can function well now, at school, and into the future. However, to be honest, it is sometimes hard to sort through all the information we get and remember what nutrients are really important. In this podcast, Dr. Angela Hanlon, ND, discusses just that in an easy-to-understand manner.
Hi there. I'm Dr. Angela Hanlon, naturopathic doctor, and this podcast is about nutrition. I talk about specific nutrients to pay attention to based on the types of diets that I tend to see in clinical practice, particularly when it comes to kids. It's probably important to note that in addition to my ND title, I earned a Bachelor of Science in Nutrition. I've shaped this podcast around my clinical experience, but I've used two key sources to support my statements. One is an excellent book by Abram Hoffer, MD, and Jonathan Prowski, ND, called Naturopathic Nutrition. The other is a frequently updated database called Natural Medicines Therapeutic Research. It's important to note that I don't intend any of the information in this podcast to be taken as recommendation, but if you'd like me to give you some specific recommendations for you or your child, I'd be happy to. You'll find me at www.hanlonnaturopathic.ca in beautiful downtown Blythe. With that said, let's get started. In general, I'm pretty impressed with the types of foods my younger patients are eating. But there are so many choices these days, and a lot of them are things our great-grandparents wouldn't even recognize as food. Here are some common signs of a nutrient deficiency: behavior problems, clinginess, bedwetting, headaches, lack of interest, not meeting developmental milestones, skin problems, pooping problems, and by that I mean too loose or constipation, low immunity, as if they're catching every bug that goes around, sleeping problems, attention problems, and body aches, which are often labeled as growing pains. Now, you'll notice that these symptoms could be an indication of a lot of different things. So if I suspect nutrient deficiency, I look for signs of weak digestion. And for this, I recommend that my patients look in the toilet. What you should see is a light or slightly dark brown log in one or two round pieces with no food particles, no shine, no mucus, no blood, and nothing that looks like coffee grinds. It should have a fairly neutral odor, though the odd stinky poo is quite normal. Now, a child generally has a bowel movement like this 1 to 3 times a day, depending on the age. If the poo is too frequent, it's a red flag. And if it's not frequent enough, that's also a red flag. I also take note of energy levels and temperament after a child has eaten. I ask the parents, are there any patterns according to what kind of food your child ate? Here are some nutrients to pay the most attention to. Vitamin D is something I test regularly because over the years I found levels to be notoriously low. There are many opinions about why, but the one reason everyone agrees with is sunlight exposure. As Canadians, we rely on the summer months to get enough D into storage for the winter months. However, high-intensity sunlight for long periods raises concern about skin cancer. It's a real balancing act. This is a vitamin we don't want to have too much of either, so supplementing with D needs to be done under a doctor's supervision. And when I say doctor, I mean medical doctor or naturopathic doctor. Symptoms of low-grade vitamin D deficiency include weaker bones, weaker immunity, lower energy, and depression. Long-term vitamin D deficiency is thought to increase our risk of autoimmune diseases and skin conditions. Sources of vitamin D are few and basically amount to sunlight and fortified milk. It's important to note that sunlight coming in from a window doesn't count as a source of vitamin D. It has to be direct sunlight. And the next nutrient I'd like to talk about is actually two similar nutrients, EPA and DHA. These nutrients are found in only a few foods, namely fish and seafood, a little bit in sea vegetables, meaning seaweed. But they're used in many physical processes in the body. For example, they make sure our inflammation doesn't get out of control. Think of this as a red light that comes on to stop our inflammation process so it doesn't become excessive. EPA and DHA are also used as building blocks for healthy hair, skin, nails, and healthy brain tissue, nerve tissue. They're important for good fertility, for a healthy pregnancy, for growing bodies, and in particular for the learning process. They also balance cholesterol levels and protect the blood vessels, but hopefully your child won't need to worry about this for a long time. Deficiency of EPA and DHA can cause problems with focusing, learning, and curiosity. You can see behavior problems, sometimes even depression. The skin tends to be dry and rough, and it may look like your child has eczema or psoriasis. Though I have seen EPA and DHA coming back into the diet, helping greasy, oily, pimply skin as well. And it's important to note that EPA and DHA supplements have been found to interact with some medications, including the very important blood thinners. Zinc is the next nutrient I'd like to talk about. Zinc is an important mineral for healthy immunity. I'm talking about colds, flus, and infections. Zinc deficiency tends to express itself as poor wound healing, diarrhea, and lingering colds, flus, and infections. You might see weak fingernails with white spots on them, though zinc deficiency isn't the only reason for these kinds of fingernails. In addition, athletic performance probably won't be as strong if there's a zinc deficiency. Now, if a child is really low in zinc, growth can be slowed. It's even been associated with eating disorders, hypothyroidism, and ADHD. It's because it helps the brain use the fats we're eating that are essential for good brain function. Food sources of zinc include beef, lamb, sesame seeds, tahini, spinach, asparagus, cremini mushrooms, pumpkin seeds, lentils, chickpeas, cashews, turkey, quinoa, and shrimp. Now, apparently, the dark meat of the turkey tends to have more zinc in it than the white meat. The next one I'd like to talk about is magnesium. This is one of my favorites. Magnesium is involved in over 300 body processes that we know of. It's quite important to the bones. In my opinion, it's just as important as calcium. It's also very important in muscle strength. Deficiency tends to show up as fatigue and apathy, constipation, and body tension, which can be hard to detect, often presents itself as growing pains or as headaches. But magnesium deficiency can also show up as problems focusing, exercise-related breathing problems, or a state of restlessness, like they're always fidgeting. Food sources of magnesium include brown rice, whole wheat, wheat germ, oat bran, pumpkin seeds, cocoa, yes, regular old fries cocoa, sesame seeds, tahini, Brazil nuts, sunflower seeds, almonds, cashews, and edamame beans. Green vegetables are another good source of magnesium, and it's important to note that the chlorophyll molecule is what contains the magnesium, which means the greener, the better. Now, you might be tempted to use magnesium supplements, but too much of one mineral will decrease levels of another mineral, which is why it's so important to supplement under a doctor's supervision. In addition, too much magnesium supplement can cause cramping, excessive gas, and diarrhea. The final nutrient I'll address is chromium. Chromium is an essential part of insulin activity. And this means that it's essential for blood sugar regulation, which relates to type 2 diabetes. Chromium tends to be deficient because it's in the part of the grain that's not commonly used for food. In addition, eating large amounts of sugar or starch uses up the body's chromium. And this is where we get into sort of things like brown rice versus very starchy white rice, whole wheat flour versus white flour. 100% whole wheat flour contains 12 times the amount of chromium as white flour. Now, many foods contain small amounts of chromium. Broccoli is the richest source. Another good source is grape juice. But here's an example. Grape juice is very high in sugar, so we'll be using a lot of the chromium that we're consuming just to deal with the grape juice. Whole grains are a good source. Barley, oats, also tomatoes, green beans, and romaine lettuce. These are pretty fair sources of chromium. However, no food other than broccoli is an excellent source of chromium, so it's recommended that we regularly eat a variety of chromium-containing foods. Now, broccoli. Yes, broccoli. It's important to note that boiling it will deplete its chromium levels. Best to steam it. It tastes better that way anyways. And that concludes this podcast. I hope you found it helpful. Thanks for tuning in. Bye for now.